show away the Aaron show away the Aaron show.
Sometimes it's good to just yell about football. What are you doing? Don't do this to me, Harry! The Ohio State. It's Ohio State! What do you mean, the? It's a poison. I almost stroked out and died over it. I'm glad to be at the party. I'm mad we're this late. You ain't a captain of nothing but a sinking ship. That helps the defense without them even doing a damn thing. Doing a damn thing. In a calling line. 312-988-15. You tell Johnny all you've heard and seen. Oh, what's going on? That's right. It's Masters Week. I see not everybody's a golf fan in here. Some people are like, what is this? Golf Digest? Talk about the football. John, enough about that. I don't want to hear about that rich guy's golf game. Talk to me about the football.
The Masters is just a magical thing. And it's kind of like Notre Dame in the way of like Lou saying, if it hits you and you get it, then you get it. And if you really don't, then you're probably never going to get it. Like the Masters at Augusta, the whole romanticism around the whole thing. Mikey, no, he's not. Although Jack Nicklaus did it at 46 years old. His last major came 11 years before. If any one of these guys can do it later, it's going to be him. It would be Tiger because nobody knows that course better than him and the pressure and everything. It's just a matter of health. Swinging a lot of times now is fine for him. You can't forget that walk. That's what gets Tiger. It isn't the actual swinging anymore. It's having to walk that terrain that's a lot hillier than anybody realizes. Rory needs a win. Augusta is in Rory's head. 100%. Augusta is in Rory's head. He's in his own head. He's not in a good place. His press conference was very weird. I haven't seen anything like that from Rory. His press conference, he was not having it. That's not how he usually presents. He's in a bad mental place. And that's a bad start to Masters Week. Okay. Anyways, that wasn't going to be the topic of the day. Thanks for being here. We got a couple of calls. Dr. John, you're going to come up first. A lot of interesting chats that we need to go over and I need to go through before we get to the calls. Couple things today. We're rounding into the final week of spring. Next week, spring ball leading into the blue and gold game. Make your final plans to be with us and join us. I want to know just your overall sense and feeling with this, with spring ball, where they're at overall, where they're at on the offensive side of the ball, where they're at on the defensive side of the ball. I want to know where your gauge is kind of telling you that these items are at. I also been seeing some funny things on Twitter about Notre Dame and the relevance or irrelevance. I have a chart to go over to ask you guys about something with that. I also have something I want to go over with Notre Dame's most hated rivals, something I saw with that. Some really interesting stuff. So I'm happy to shoot all over wherever you guys kind of want to go. We could go. And we'll kind of go from there. So let's do the introductions. And then I got somebody saying Rory will never win it again. Each year that he's stuck and then he has a blow up and then it's in his mind even more. It's just tough. It's been a decade since the guy won a major. Like, we're kind of stuck here. So he's got an issue in their brain than I do. My problem's never been physical. I can make the ball do things. It's my stupid brain. Get in my own head and my own worst enemy out there. Oh, boy. As always, you can find the program on YouTube. Do it. Subscribe if you haven't yet. Appreciate it very much. Give the video a thumbs up. That helps Johnny out as well. Notifications on. You know why. That way you're alerted every time a new episode drops. You don't want to miss it. Twitter, search bar, Always Irish, or at Always Irish Inc. Emails, alwaysirishandy@gmail.com. Audio only anywhere you want it. You can get it at the call-in lines. 312-988-15. Dial it up. Tell Johnny all you've heard and seen. Instagram, Facebook, Always Irish Inc. USA Today, Irish Wire. Read all about it. Patreon.com/AlwaysIrish. Former captain leading tech for Mike Goolsby and myself breaking it all down. As always, the morning show is brought to you by ndsubwayalumni.com. Very nice guys. They love Notre Dame. They're loyal Subway alums. Built the website, some specific Irish gear for you guys to get from them. And as I always say, I don't do this kind of work with anybody I don't trust and know. So go check them out. Koepka will win it all. Wouldn't surprise me. The reason Koepka makes everybody mad is because he doesn't even really like golf. He admits it. He's like, golf is boring. I don't really love it. I'm just really good at it. And then it looks like he's not trying. And then he ends up like winning. So that's his deal. So I don't know. Here's the other thing with golf. Sun Chance, what's going on? Here's the other thing too. See, if I have felt golf lost a little momentum. When you had the division between LIV and the PGA and all the legal battles and all that, I feel like worldwide golf's lost a little bit of momentum. I just do. And I don't know what you do about that. The numbers show that too. I've thought that. The numbers show that too. All the viewership's down on everything, all of that. That division, it just started. People now are like, okay, we have a tournament. Are the best players here or not? Or are some of them over there? What's going on here? What's with the field? Out of sight, out of mind with the LIV guys, you almost forget they exist. Then they show back up. It's a weird thing. Scotty, I would probably take Scotty if you're asking me. Like, I don't know. He's the odds on favorite. So that's chalky and lame. I would probably pick him. All right. I want to do a couple of these chats. Cause again, if I don't get to them, they're gone. Cause we get busy and then they're gone. I want to honor the early chats. Dr. John, you'll be the first one coming up when I get caught up on these because there's some interesting stuff here. Commander Luke. Now, if you remember, if you were here with us Monday, Commander Luke was putting in the super chats as he was going under a surgical procedure, going under anesthesia. Maybe he was writing it while he was passing out or something from it. I don't know. So now I'm on alert because follow me here, folks. We all want the same thing, fellas, whatever your walks of life are and whoever you encounter. We want to wear that ND shirt and have respect anywhere in the country. At times, it feels silly sporting ND gear and seeing what I seen when Notre Dame played. Johnny, I still believe in Notre Dame football. Do you? I got to ask, did they do something to you during this surgery? You seem to have come out with a different perspective. This is like the most positivity from Commander Luke I've ever seen. Is that what they did? A Notre Dame transplant on you? And now you're looking at it different or what? I just think it's wild that right after that surgery, or is this one of those things where you made it through and now it's making you reevaluate your life and, you know, like something scary happens and then you like, it makes you reevaluate how lucky you are or whatever, like something like that. I'm just saying, Commander, it's a little weird to me that you come out of surgery and now you're on the plus side of this and you're looking a little glass half full for once. What the hell's going on? Oh, man. Mark, I know you're not depressed. It's just your personality's normal. It's the affect, Mark. Whether you're high or low, the affect stays the same. And I can't live that way. It's amazing. Mark's awesome, man. Mark's one of a kind. Here we go. We're going back to Monday's math brain teaser. Bro, does anybody have these documents you could send me so that I could like take some more time to read through these equations? I'm not a math guy. Ask Pat from, I'm not a math guy. It's the one thing I can't do in my head. $20 from my lawyer in Michigan. Last caller was fascinating. What he said makes perfect sense. If Indy wants big time money, they got to play a Big Ten schedule, not a crappy ACC one. It appears Indy's contract through 27 is terrible. Is that because of the ACC portion of it that they're getting paid that comes out of that? I want to see a different set of documents or a different financial breakdown, because I thought I had a grip on the numbers, sought out other people breaking down the numbers, and the ones that a lot of them came up with were exactly mine, where they're adding and taking from in these pools. It was lining up with where I had it. And so different. Can somebody find like a YouTube video and send me the link or email a chart? The ones I looked at were the numbers I thought I was looking at. And this is different than that. Somebody send me some $10 holler from the lawyer. Because of the ACC contract, Indy is not as independent as one might think. Indy better get in the Big Ten sooner rather than later. USC's there, the money's there, and Indy still picks three games. Eric, if you told me you felt like this was Notre Dame's ultimate landing spot, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Like, I wouldn't bet we're at that point of all this. I would not bat an eye if you were like, I just got a feeling this is how this is all going to end. And so I don't know how long that takes, what year it is or whatever, but if you said you thought that was how it was going to go eventually, it wouldn't totally surprise me. But again, I don't like having these conflicting numbers that it makes me uncomfortable, because you want to work off the right ones, but it's like somebody send me some new documentation on this to look at and study. And not on the fly with half a second before I have to say something here, but where I could really look at some math and process it all. Somebody find it and send it to me if you would. I would appreciate that. John, if what that guy said is true, how do we not know about that fine print till yesterday? I mean, I don't know. The guy said he knew some people who were working in the college game, whatever. That's what I'm saying is bothering me about this, is even when I thought I had an equation right, then I go try and double check it on, you know, Googling articles about it or looking at YouTube people breaking it down. And their numbers were similar to what I was looking at, not this. So I need more informations, different informations. Andrew, I'm counting on you, brother. Get us the fine print. Andrew Gilmore does seem like the guy that would find that too. By the way, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Mikey Poles, good morning. He's talking about what players you want to see at the blue and gold game. Dude, I want to see younger people. I want to see younger guys run around and do a bunch of stuff. Young. KVA, Cam, like whatever. I want to see some younger dudes out there flashing. These wide receivers, can we get some action? Like, but blue and gold game always for me is that one of the top things is I'm looking for the next big thing, man. Who could splash? Couple years ago, it was JD Price burning everybody, burning rubber down the sideline. There he goes. And me and Always Irish Senior look at each other like, that's a different gear. And he's very young. I love that. Boom. Shredded leg out. Whatever. Like, it's just the way it goes, you guys. The one thing that had me most excited in that blue and gold game got ruined. It's just the way it goes. Was going to be one of my number one takeaways is this guy's got different speed. We don't usually have it, Notre Dame. And then shredded. Bro, come on. Can't we just have nice things? So I want to see these early enrollees. I want to see the guys that have been in the program 1 year going on their second year. I want to see that. We already pretty much know who's going to be like the starters or in a rotation at the top for most spots, I feel like. You know those names. You kind of know their games. I want to see the other stuff. I want to see those pleasant surprises. Not the guys I already know what they could do. Like, I want to see that, sure. But I'm much more excited about the future. What's coming next? What can we get that I'm not expecting to get that adds into the pool of helping Notre Dame win? Maybe that's a good way to put it. Does that make sense? I'm interested in that. Homer with the $5 holler, T minus 10 days till we christen the Lewski. Let's do it. The long range forecast seems to change every time I change my underwear. Once a week? No, I'm just kidding, Tony. Yeah, who knows? Who knows? I don't know what we're going to get. Even if it rained or something, if it could just not be 28 degrees during it, it'd be an advantage, right? Like even if you were going to catch some rain, could it just not be 31 degrees and freezing rain? Could it be 70 degrees and rain? Why has it got to be the worst of every scenario? Oh, man. Where was I? Pat saying what he said was not true. So much of that was false. He had the contract dates years wrong and was making points like, I want some additional documentation without the pressure of having to scan it and read it all like live and process these numbers. It's not a strength of mine. Because everything I looked up to research this stuff was in the vein of how I was processing it, which is not how that gentleman did Monday. So I don't know. Pat's talking about the Masters or the late afternoon guys in screwed in trouble. Draws or early week draws are a key at Augusta. If you can end up with a favorable, you want to flip your draw so you win both times. Like if you're morning Thursday, catch it when the wind's down and then you have a nice afternoon on Friday, right? You would be morning tea time Thursday, afternoon Friday. Augusta's all up, like that draw is a big deal. Some guys get screwed by the weather. It's just the way it is. There's no wind in the morning and 30 miles an hour in the afternoon. Like that's golf, baby. So if you could get a favorable draw, meaning you get the good weather, rotating your morning afternoon start, whether it's Thursday, Friday, that's always a big deal at Augusta. Set yourself up for the weekend. Yeah, Pat was there last year. Dr. John was hanging out with Tiger his first year at Augusta. I saw that. Angela, what's going on? Dr. John. Phil says, are the food and beverage prices still really $2 to $3? Yeah, they're pretty cheap. It's just you got to win the lottery to get in there affordably. And if not, then you're paying $1,500 and then you could get a $2 sandwich, right? Like that's the, and it does make me laugh. They're like, it's the most affordable concessions in the world. What? But then if you go to StubHub, you're paying $2,000 to get in. Oh, yeah. I hope that sandwich is $3 after I paid that. Oh, Phil, what's going on? Jay Layman, the nicest guy on the internet. God bless you for being associated with me. Oh, man. What else did I see here? There it is. Is this the Golf Channel? Where's John? Talk football. I'm sorry, man. Give me a break. A lot of people like the Masters. All right. I'm getting caught up. Give me a break here. Golf needs a shot clock. I'm telling you, man, you got to speed up. Slow golf is the worst thing in the world. It's you could even be bad and play fast. I just can't. Golf is not meant to be a thing where it takes 6 hours to just hit it far, go hit the other one, make your putts, and hurry up. I have no patience for slow golf at all. Ruins everything, puts you in a bad mood. It's the worst. So they need to speed things up. Cantlay, let's go. Come on, buddy. Today, you're not more important than everybody else. Let's go. Hit it. Jeez. Golf ain't a sport, it's a hobby. You know what I've noticed in life? This is an interesting fact. The only people that have ever been like, golf's not a sport, or I don't respect golf, or whatever. Nobody good at golf would ever say that. it's either people who haven't tried or they know they suck. They go to the driving range on a date and they can't hit in the air and they're like mad because in the back of their mind, they know they're not good at it. So they have to like crap on it. That's what I've learned. How come nobody good at golf is like, yeah, I'm really good at golf. It's not a real sport though. Why nobody good at golf ever has said that? It's only people that I've noticed that suck or have never even really tried to play seriously that have that opinion. I think that's interesting. Golf is a totally unique sport because it's all you. You don't have to hit a pitch thrown by somebody else. It's all you and your mind. And that ball sitting right there staring back at you. What you going to do with it? It's a totally different mind game. Totally different mind game. Koepka will win. It wouldn't surprise me, man. He just keep on rooting for Rory. But yeah, he saw the future. Commander saw the future while he was under anesthesia. I don't know what they did. Did they switch his brain or what? It's just weird to me that he comes out and he's glass half full about Notre Dame. I don't understand. Oh, the Ohio podcast launched the College Huddle yesterday, which is a collection of a whole bunch of YouTubers all across the different conferences, all over the different teams that are all just working together to cross-pollinate all these channels, get more interviews, have people back and forth when they have, when you're playing an opponent, go talk to the guy in that circle, you know, that covers that show. And I'm happy to be a part of it. To mingle with some of these other teams that we're going to need to learn more about, have them on the show, go on their show, whatever that is. That's going to be helpful for us when we get in the season. And also, I've been doing this a long time, and I'm excited to be able to help some younger guys building their YouTube channels, kind of ramp it up and kind of really start to build stuff and take off. So Ohio Pod, Eric's worked really, really hard to put all this together, build kind of a framework with a good group, a good community. So stay tuned for that. I'm happy to be a part of this with Eric. Just again, I only work with good people I trust. So yeah, it's a good thing. Where's the only we're the only fan base breaking out TV contracts and revenue? Well, we're the only one with the weird setup for all this stuff. Like, I always talk about gray area. Notre Dame is perpetually in a gray area no matter what we're discussing. It doesn't matter what the topic is. There's always nuance. There's always gray area. It's never just like, it's never just this or just that. There's all this real estate in the middle that drives you nuts. Even with spring ball, I would argue it's gray area right in the middle. Like, you're getting things done, but every Notre Dame fan has to admit this is not ideal at all for getting this offense off the ground. This new, it's having your quarterback doing a wheelie in a scooter one week, and the next week he's and the next week he's got more braces than a 12-year-old whose teeth need to be fixed. Come on, this is not ideal. We got to admit it. That offense is not getting put together as quickly as we all wanted, and I don't know what you can do about it. Injury's injury. I don't like the amount of offensive installation we've been able to do this spring because the original plan got all messed up because Riley Leonard's hurt and it's just thrown a kink in everything you want to do. His personal development, the development between him and the rhythm with the teammates and everything, it's just all not where you need it to be and there ain't a damn thing you could do about it. Injury's injury. I don't know what to tell you. Hope he comes back in August in one piece ready to go and then you have to make up a lot of ground in about 3.5-4 weeks there. It's not the most comfortable scenario, you guys, but here we are. I don't know what to tell you. That's our reality. It ain't comfortable to me. The one thing that should give you some comfort is your trust in Mike Denbrock to understand what he's looking at and to have a proper gauge of exactly where we're at, where we're not at, how long he thinks it's going to be to get there. That's the one saving grace in this is I actually trust that guy to be able to look at all this and figure it out. Also, tomorrow's standalone episode is going to be about the new offense. Some really eye-opening quotes came out. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm referencing. I was posting about it on Twitter. One of the quarterbacks had a quote that jumped off the page to me. I mean, it just jumped right out at me. And it's about this offense, the more flexibility they're going to have with it. And it is a vast departure from what we had last year. Tomorrow's entire standalone episode is going to be about this quote and what it means about the past and our Notre Dame futures. Okay? Oh, boy. Tell yourself you want to join the SEC. I said, dude, I just don't think that's on the table. Everybody's like, go get that money, do the SEC. It's more than just football. They want an academic fit and all that stuff. It's going to be the Big Ten. They got that AAU accreditation. If they have to do it, it'll be the Big Ten. And even if the Big Ten has to buy out Notre Dame's ACC deal and pay the fees or whatever, or is the ACC going to cave? I don't know what's going to happen with the ACC. They're on shaky ground. Their ground is, I just don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Coconut Dream, the Ohio podcast. I watched the video about the launch and I really respect the hard work you guys put in to make it happen. I'm telling you that just those guys put in a lot of work building all the framework of this. And I'm happy to be a part of it. I'm not going to take credit for the legwork to put all that together and build out a network and all that. So, it should be good for everybody involved. Mikey, which dumb and Dr. John, I got you coming up. I'm almost caught up. John, which dumb ND take do you hate more? Join a conference, cowards, or overrated? The issue is neither one of those is accurate. It's such a struggle. If you would have just left it with join a conference to be like everyone else, so we're all on an equal footing, I can live with that opinion. Join a conference, cowards, is the part that gets me. Because Notre Dame has not joined the Big Ten or a major conference because they're scared. That has not been the reason Notre Dame has not joined a conference full-time, is fear. It's a desire to hold on to our independence. But you're never going to get a Michigan fan on that, right? Like I understand from the outside, that's the go-to thing. And it always seems to come from Big Ten fans. And then I got to remind them that their own anti-Catholic, it's not in the Big Ten. His bigotry against the Fighting Irish forced Newt Rockne to board those trains and go to New York and play Army, board those trains and go all the way to the West Coast and go play USC, and therefore built that Subway alumni brand all across. Cowards, when we wanted to join, they wouldn't let us. No Irish need apply for this conference. They did that. They have nothing to blame but themselves for what Notre Dame turned into. I'll never come off that point. Okay? We need sources. We need sources. Yeah, I want to see an article with these different numbers or a chart, something I could break down. Forgive me, you guys. I'm not good with the math. I could do a lot of things. I could talk a million miles a minute with a bunch of things in my brain and make it make sense. The math, 2 + 2, let me get my iPhone. The math just doesn't automatically compute in Johnny's head the way words do. Everybody's brain's different. I don't know what to tell you. Look at this. What type of wine and cheese will be served at the tailgate? You know what? Hold on a second. I got an answer for that. Can you guys hold on 10 seconds? I'll be right back. I'll show you. check this out. What do you think about this shirt? Can you see that? No wine and cheese allowed. Look at that. Wine and cheese. It's a no-go zone. All right? Can you see that, or am I blocking out my own lights or what? There you go. No wine and cheese. Get it out of here. No wine and cheese. I want you loud and proud. No wine and cheese. Sitting there with your legs crossed. And then that one time in law school, I took a test and I did really good about it. And now I'm making a lot of money. And I married a girl who's way better looking than me, but she just wanted the security of a Mercedes-Benz in private schools for our six rat kids. I don't really care who we're playing today and if we win or not, because we're all rich and we went to Notre Dame and our lives are perfect. I don't really care about football, but I'm glad to be here and be seen. Get out of here. Loud and proud. I'm sick of Notre Dame being so nice for the opponent. I like that we have decorum. I like that we have respect. I like that we don't have a Miami situation at home where your physical safety is at risk if you're from the opposing team. I'm not advocating for that. But I don't know how much of a compliment it is when every opponent's like, man, you know what? It was great going to Notre Dame. We love that. I don't know if you want that necessarily. You follow me? I don't want it to be too comfortable for the opponent. Man. So, I don't know. Ooh, Jay Layman. Could the blue and gold game be a portal tryout for one of the quarterbacks? Let's see. Am I dreaming that Riley Leonard said something like, I still don't know if I'm going to play in the blue and gold game? Or did I make up that quote? Tell me if that wasn't him, but one of those injured guys was saying, oh, I still don't know if I'm going to play in the blue and gold game or whatever. If he doesn't, then you have Carr as the freshman, and then you're going to have Minchie and Angeli taking a lot of the snaps, and they're going to get all that run, and then we're going to see how it goes. I thought the scenario for the transfer quarterback thing would have been if Riley Leonard was healthy and the guy who's ending up number three gets mad and he leaves the way Buckner did, where the second the blue and gold games end, The second the blue and gold game end, that U-Haul was already packed and my man was gone. My man was gone, bro. The second the blue and gold game ended, Buckner was halfway to Alabama. It didn't work out for him, but he wanted to try greener pastures. So I think if Riley Leonard's not going to go for health or whatever, then that helps keep both those guys involved because they're going to get all the... I don't know, man. But everybody's expecting. It's making me uncomfortable. I don't like this quarterback. You got a lot of work to do in August now. That's my takeaway. You got a lot of work to do in August now because you're not able to get as much done here in spring as you wanted. Kedren Young going to have that JD impact. Give me that speed, baby. Give me that speed. Can Goolsby throw John through a table, Bills Mafia style? Oh, man. I think my back will break in half. I can't afford that kind of action. Mark says, where's my green jacket? I got a green screen that you see behind me, and if I wear the green jacket on here, I'll blend right in. I got like a green screen, like a news... going to be, if I do that, I'm not going to be seen. You won't see me. It's wild. Did I just black out? Oh, these are two different breeds, Eric. Great debate, John. Who's the more annoying fans, Bills Mafia drunk or Texas A&M male cheerleader cult member? The Bills Mafia drunk scares Eric. I got a scientific answer for this. Check this out. Dr. John, I promise I'm going to you. This is what always happens when I say I need to get caught up and then I get down the road. Who's the more annoying? Listen, Bills Mafia drunk. Like, I know what that looks like. Those are good old, you know, just Neanderthal football fans in a parking lot drinking 80 beers. And the next thing you do is start throwing your buddy off a truck through some tables, right? Like, I could get in my mind of like regular drunk football guy stuff. That makes sense in my brain. The Texas A&M male cheerleaders with the white overalls, though. I can't make that make sense. And as if you being a male cheerleader in white overalls wasn't awkward enough just on its face, what they do and say is awkward too. They make those weird cheers against the other team and they try and do stand-up comedy about the other team, and it's not creative and not funny and not good. That group scares me, Eric. That group scares me. I'm a lot more comfortable in a parking lot with a bunch of drunk guys. I'm not getting thrown off a table, but I at least I know where they're coming from. I have no idea where those male cheerleader white overall having. I don't get that, and it scares me. That's a weird group, man. Texas A&M's a weird group. I don't know. It's a little weird. Make golf a contact sport. Oh, man. Yeah, Jay Carr. Wouldn't that be good? And the reality is, he says Ruffino versus John debate coming soon. We should do that at some time. If you guys don't know, he runs an LSU channel. And it's really similar to the way I'm structured. Like, his workflow through the week and months and everything, it follows mine. Like, that's why I like interacting with Blake, because we're kind of on the same track here, doing our own thing, kind of piecing it together, everyday content. Like, his, the way he spread, there's a lot of overlap. Him and I are a lot more similar than we are different. And I love going at the LSU media and fans is my new favorite hobby. It's just a joy. It's just a joy. So I do love that. I do love that. The commercial got over 60K, Eric. God, you're good at that, man. The promoting and all that stuff. You're good. Blyberg, I admit, that guy's numbers and all the things he was doing may be totally accurate. I admit my brain was not, I have no problem admitting this. My brain could not keep up with the numbers that he was doing in the way that it was going. I was there for a while and then I couldn't. I just couldn't. I'm not smart enough. I have no problem admitting that. Jay says the Big Ten is the only path if or when Notre Dame joins a conference. I agree with that. It's a terrific fit in every single way, and I don't even see another viable option. And I think people talking about another conference as a viable option are just doing it, I don't know why. Because there's not really any logic to them joining another one. For a million different reasons, it would be the Big Ten. I just get so sick of having this discussion, and it never goes away, and it's annoying, and it comes up all the time. Like, this is our life, is in choosing independence. The Big Ten's horribly overrated. Well, we're not joining the SEC. And the Big Ten is like the second big dog, I guess. So I don't know. Contact golf is field hockey. If I wanted my kid to look like Sloth from the Goonies, I'd be a Michigan fan. Yeah, there's not a lot to like there. There ain't a lot to like. It's a rough scene, man. I'm telling you, it's a rough scene. I think you got a lot of first cousins that are also parents together. There's a lot of that. It's the only thing that makes sense. I'm convinced of it. So I don't know. I don't know. No wine and cheese, baby. Now people are getting... Oh, I had fun. You know how much I was laughing making that t-shirt, designing it out? And I'm like, bro, I don't know when I'm going to pull this out, but people are going to do a master show. Every time I've done like a 30-second short on the Masters over the years, people are like, boo, your channel sucks. Stick to football. It's like, bro, I'm sorry. It's like the off season. Notre Dame doesn't have any games or anything. Give me a break. Those male cheerleaders are creepy. Yeah. It's really creepy. It really is. All right. I'm caught up, Dr. John. I'm sorry. I told you I was going to get you in quick and then I wasted all your morning. Dr. John, you're going to have trouble golfing. Your arm's tired from holding up the phone on hold. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Indeed doesn't sign a 4-year contract that requires them to play more Big Ten teams when they schedule 3 to 4 years in advance and have a long-term deal with the ACC. Everything's got to be so damn complicated with us. Everything's gotta be complicated with us. John, make a clown face Kelly shirt just like Portnoy did with Roger the Clown shirt. I've looked into that and I'm having trouble. You know me, you should know I've thought of this. The issue is getting the image, like the still frame I want of him to look good coming through printed on the shirt with the tone in his face I want it to be with the backdrop of the shirt too. It's hard for me to get the exact way that I want it to go. Oh, man. All right, Dr. John, it's your time to shine, baby. I made you wait. I'm so sorry. Hello.
Man, it's so good to hear your voice.
Are you sure?
Over my phone. No, I'm not sure about anything. But here's what we need to do. I need to give you an emergency contact number in case I'm on hold for a long time. And when you get to me, I'm gone. And by that, I mean gone. I'll have to email you my daughter's phone number. So if you don't get me, you can give her a call to come and get the body. Okay.
There we go. Yeah. That's good, man. I like being people's safety contact in their phone. Just put always Irish in your phone as if in case of emergency, call this show and yell about football. I like that. I like it. Dr. John, what do you have on your mind, man? I'm sure the way your brain works, it's a magical place. What's on your mind today?
Well, here's the biggest problem of being on hold. My agenda increased 50%.
Yeah, come up with new
stuff. Let's get golf out of the way first. There is a shot clock for golf. The problem is they don't enforce it tough enough.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just really... Dr. John, sometimes it's noticeable and you're like, man, this is like, let's go. Like, you got to find a way to speed it up. Golf's just a better game when it moves along at a decent pace.
Oh, my God. Yes. And I remember a round I got thrown in with a father and son. They both were so slow. I started timing them. Ugh. And I was on hold more there than I was today. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, Dr. John, at least when the pros are slow, it's really annoying to me, but at least they have millions of dollars on the line. When regular people are slow golfing that are shooting 95, there's no reason to be slow because you're just hit it, get it and hit it, get it and hit it. Okay.
Absolutely.
You know,
the other thing I want to make point about in golf, came out of some of the chat. There are a lot of guys who are great athletes physically, But to be a good golfer, you have to have a mental toughness.
Yeah.
I really don't know why you're so good. Sorry.
Hey, nobody gets in their own mind on the golf course quite like me. So that's the way it goes, man. Yeah, and you know what else I find interesting, Dr. John? The correlation between former major league pitchers and how good they are at golf. I have been thinking about that. There are a lot of former pitchers that ended up being really good golfers. And I think that's interesting, that brain connection and how they think through the game. I just find that very interesting.
Well, and I don't know how good they are, but there's a lot of hockey players that are great golfers.
Yeah, you're swinging that stick.
Which stands to reason.
You're kind of in the same swinging ballpark there. So I don't know, John. Yeah. It's going to be fun. Who's your pick for the Masters then? Who you got?
Well, as I said in chat, I'm rooting for Rory. I always do. I just think he's a class act.
Oh, he's in his head, man.
I would love to see him come through.
John, I've never seen him that way, the way he was in his little Masters presser yesterday. He was not himself. The place is in his head. He was not himself. I have rarely seen Rory in that mental place. He's struggling right now. He's fighting himself.
Yeah, and that's what he's got to find. He's got to find the mental fortitude to start embracing the pressure right from the beginning. Not wait till it's on the line. So
yeah, so it's going to be interesting. I'll take Scheffler, yeah. I guess. Just it's chalky, but whatever. I don't have a lot of confidence in a lot of other guys to the point where I'd pick them. I just don't have that confidence in a lot of this field. And the other thing with the Masters is, to me, there's only about 15% of the field that has what it takes internally to even win the Masters. They take the physical part out of it. You got to have a mental thing. There's only like 15, 20% of that field has what it takes mentally to win that tournament. So it's going to be interesting, Dr. John. We'll see. You got any Notre Dame thoughts, though?
I do, but let me get a couple other things out of the way. That you had a Friday call that I think Cotter would have cut off. I think he actually made a comment on it. I meant to go back and re-listen to it, but it was something about squatter rights. And at that point, I thought, does John have a mute button?
That did come up. Yeah, we were talking about squatting, okay? Yeah. And I didn't ever expect that would be a topic on this show.
Yeah. The other non-football thing, I can't remember the context, but you were talking about your birthdays or whatever, and I just wanted to remind, if you could live on Mars, you'd only be 21 right now, so... If you can make that move, you'll be in good shape for many years to come.
Interesting.
But getting to football, how do you see working in those three quarterbacks in the blue and gold game?
Well, it's a lot easier than working in four. So that's my first response is it's a lot easier to work in three than it is to work in four. Don't you got a deep?
That's true.
If you're going to count Riley Leonard out healing with the injury, then it's pretty easy to me. You have one guy start on one team, and that's Kenny Minchie, and the other is Angeli. And then you find your places where you're going to put CJ Carr in later. That's how it's going to go, right? But those two got to get the bulk of the snaps. It would be a lot harder with four.
Yeah, it would. It would. Of course, I don't think we put anything on the line, but as I said before, my odds have improved for somebody else besides Leonard starting that Texas A&M game.
I think I would have to agree with you. Injury's injury, and injury breeds instability. And when you have that instability, anything's possible. Anything is possible. So Wait and see. Not ideal. I don't like it. You have a lot of work to do in August now. If you're running with Leonard, you have a lot to catch up on because you're not getting it done this spring. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, he's going to have to come from behind in August, I think.
Yeah, and
I really do. He's going to be behind.
That is probably my number one thing. You nailed it. Probably the number one thing I'm looking with interest as we begin August's camp is he number two? And he's got to overcome Angeli or whoever runs out the rest of the spring. That's my number one thing I'm looking at is how are they going to set that up? Even if Riley Leonard's perfectly healthy, does he not start fall camp as the number one and have to earn his way back? And what does that look like? Or does he? And what message does that send? I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers, but they're big questions.
Well, and that leads into one of the things you said on a video where you had your 5 points. I kept waiting for the final one because I didn't know if you were going to actually mention it. But you worked it in there in the luck category, and that's these guys staying healthy.
Yeah. It's.
I mean, I think that's going to be a big key.
Dr. John, you could really look at this spring and say it's rougher than a lot of Notre Dame fans want to talk about. You have Riley Leonard's the most important guy on offense. That shot, your number one receiving target is Evans, and he's just off the radar out with his injury recovery. And then your best defensive player's out. And it's not a matter of I need Morrison out there to learn how to play the position. It isn't that. It's just about building with all the other teammates and gelling. So then what do you say, Dr. John? Better now than August, but better never than now, right? Like there's a bunch of different ways to look at it.
It's never good. It's never good.
Right.
I don't care when it happens. It's never good.
Yeah. And so it's the pressure. It cranks the pressure up on August. Because you just have a smaller window of time to get a lot more accomplished. On the glass half full side, I think Mike Denbrock's going to have a plan because he's Mike Denbrock and he's been around the block. And I think he's going to be able to appropriately gauge where this is all at cumulatively as a team, individually with each player. I got to trust Denbrock's going to have the pulse of where they're at and make sure that we can make it work.
Yeah, I think Denbrock's going to be a big difference, even though I supported Palmer quite a bit. So, getting back to one of your other videos, I agree with you. You got to win two games in the playoffs to say it's a run. There's no other way around it.
That's just the way I see it, man. That's just the way I see it. Wait, just getting in can't be a run. And if you get in and immediately fall down, that's not a run. That's a trip. Like, I just think Notre Dame has to win four to run the whole gamut. For me to really say that they have a playoff run, I think that's two wins. I'm not calling winning just one game a run when there's three more. That feels a little cheap to me. I think it's two. That's where I'm saying it is.
Yeah, I think you got to have two to call it a run. Then go to your video on Bavakwa. I was delighted to hear your take on him. After I watched him on the that Wake Up the Echoes show that they have, I think he's the real thing. I think he's going to be a boon. And he just got a great personality.
Let me ask this. I am open to this, Dr. John. I've always been a guy who liked this part of Notre Damedom, the history and the relationships and all that goes in behind this. All I have an interest in that stuff. I always have. Goolsby brought it up to me and he goes, I mean, it's just the AD saying what he knows. All you guys want to hear, you know, what's the big deal? Like, I'm open to the idea then I'm just falling for the latest, you know, thing. But my point is, I never felt that I got this much direct information about what's going on in the plan and where that guy personally feels out of Jack. I just think this guy is a different personality. He's just a little more open and approachable with the communication. And when you're the athletic director, the communication with the fan base is kind of important, that they all know that you're on the same page with the vision of them and the mission and all that. And I feel like I've gotten those answers out of this guy very quickly. I like it. I like it a lot. The personality. I like the personality.
I do too. I kind of defended Jack when you mentioned something.
Yeah.
But I really think this guy, he just got a refreshing personality. I mean, so.
I think so too.
I think back when I was. Pardon?
I said, I think so too. And I right away, yeah. That's the number one thing that stood out to me is like, ooh, this guy's a lot more open and seems more gregarious and like open to, I don't know. I just liked it. Less lawyery. He didn't feel as lawyery as Jack did. Like, I just never knew where Jack stood on things sometimes. And that causes some insecurity.
Well, he didn't like guys criticizing him from their basement. So,
well, who would? Who would? I don't blame him. Yeah, I don't blame him either. But you know what? He makes a lot more money than I make. So, you know what? You get to take some of those shots then when you're in that position. I'm sorry. It's the way it goes.
Well, I think Notre Dame has done a much better job with their ADs. Moose was a great guy, played for Rock Day, was one of the seven mules and everything. But I don't think that he had the chops to be an athletic director at a school like Notre Dame in the modern times. And I think with Bavakwa, we've got somebody that really knows the lay of the land, and it's going to be a good relationship. I really think that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm encouraged by it. And when the way I look at it is, now you have a young head football coach, a younger president coming in, and a younger AD. And I just think that's a pretty good blend for the times we live in, where everything's changing so quickly and you got to be able to adapt and think down the road to the future and be open to different ways of doing things. A younger Irish guard in that regard, I think, is a good thing.
As you do, speaking of new presidents, I just got my Notre Dame magazine yesterday, and Jenkins is on the cover.
Yeah.
But more important, and I haven't read this yet, but I'm going to share it with you later. There's an article on the condition of sports by a guy who's he's at Indiana, but he's been around the block as far as the national sports goes. He's gotten some award for basketball. But anyway, it's about the chaotic nature of college sports right now. I haven't read it yet. I'm going to read it. I may email you my thoughts on it, whatever. My Beautiful. Last thought is I'm hoping it would be fun if the OSU podcast guy could be at that tailgate in the fall. I see Marshall is Ohio State's opponent that week. So maybe he doesn't have to be in the horseshoe that day. I don't know.
You know what?
I would
love to host Eric, and I know he would have a good time. But it's going to be hard to pull him away from anything Ohio State. That's going to be the issue on a Saturday.
Yeah. I figured. Anyway, partner, have a good show.
He just
thank you,
Dr. John.
With all of my extraneous topics.
He just asked in the chat, Ohio podcast. He's like, so am I getting an invitation or what's going on here? Yeah, you're invited, man, but you're going to have to give up a day of Ohio State beating Marshall by 80. Are you willing to do that to come be a part of the group? Then drive down that toll road from Ohio and come join us.
But beware of Marshall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm well aware of Marshall. But you, Eric, you can't show up with your face painted like Bucknut. You know, we're not even playing Ohio State, and then you're walking around doing that. We can't do that. I'm not going to invite you if you're going to pull that one.
Okay, bud. You have a good show. I'll read this article, and if there's anything in there I think that you'd be interested in, what I may do if I can get online and just send it to you.
Beautiful. Let me know. And then excited to see you shortly, sir. Won't be long now.
Well, no, but I'm not going to be at Blue and Gold game.
I thought you were.
No. I said my GoFundMe thing didn't pan out. And then I asked for the university to send the plane to get me, but they haven't been in contact. So.
Tell them you're recruiting. It's a recruiting visit. This is very important stuff. All right, fine. You'll see the photo right, evidence. Bud. You'll see the photo evidence. Have a good one. Thank you.
Okay, I wanna see that. So
yeah, you will.
Have a great show. Love you.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Take care. Oh man. Only on this show do you end up in a situation where me and an 83-year-old Notre Dame fan end the calls by saying we love each other. That's just the way it goes here, man. It's just the way these relationships go on this show. I love that, man. Most interesting man in the world. Couple more calls. Let's see what's going on. Uh-oh. These are two wild calls back to back. We have our resident Irish fan felon. And we have Tim the Intense. That's like, if I made a shirt, it would be Tim the Intense. Oh, my main man, Martinez. What up, baby? What's good?
Johnny, how are you?
Dude, I got to tell you, man, I was laughing so hard when you wrote that chat the other day. I just wasn't expecting it. It was the funniest thing to me, man. You're a riot. You're an absolute riot.
No, and I get it. You know, it's like that old stigma where it's like, man, you guys let anything go to where your guys are doing this like that. That's why I tell everybody. See, when you've been on that side of the ball for me, when I make my argument for Freeman, I said to me, it's important to have a coach, yeah, that's gonna win, but it's not just creating better athletes, but better men, because I've been down that road, you know. So when you said that, it was funny to me just as much as if it was to you. I'm like, Johnny, don't forget that. I'm one of those.
Dude, it was just so funny. Like, I saw it and I just started laughing. Hey, what are you thinking about this spring, man? How are you feeling about it? Am I overreacting a little bit, being worried about, like, the lack of – having the whole offense all together practicing? Like, am I overdoing that? Is it, I don't know.
I think because of the way last season went with Hartman. And I think the NIL money we've been spending on these rental quarterbacks. And we're finally trying to get over that hump, right? I think that kind of plays a part into it. I don't think you are, but, the most part that I'm worried about is the offensive line, because
Oh, that's fair, brother. You know, that's I know what you're saying. Because
I'm listening to everybody in the quarterback thing. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. The way I look at it is, we're all excited about Mike Denbrock and his new vision and opening up this offense and being more flexible and all that kind of stuff. And I'm excited about that. But if you have an offensive line that isn't prepared to do what they need to do, all of that's going to get crumbled down. It doesn't matter what Denbrock draws up. If those guys can't protect on the edges and create running lanes, it isn't going to matter. So they are a key part to making all of this work. And you got two tackles that are going to be new, and you're going to play an SEC defense. They may not be a highly rated team, but I know they got fast SEC talent, and they're going to be flying off the edge in our face, and you better be ready for it.
Yeah, and that's where, like I said, I've seen, you know, Charles Jagasaw play on that, you know, where he's taking big Joe Alt's place. And yeah, it's a depleted Oregon State team, you know what I mean? But he did really well, but I'm, you know, I would love to see, to make sure that the rest of them are ready to go too, because like I said, like you're saying, you got those corners coming off. It doesn't matter who's in the backfield, right? It doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. If those boys ain't ready, like, it's going to make a world of hurt for us, especially going into that environment. And if they are ready and our quarterback's not, let's see if we can open up some holes and hand off the ball to our terrific,
right,
you know, running backs. We got great running backs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you, man. August is going to be really interesting because there's just some catching up to do. And then you got to hope everybody shows up healthy. I don't know. You just got to pray they show up healthy. I don't know what else to say.
No, exactly. And then when I was watching Drake Bowen's interview, and I like to watch all the interviews and stuff, like Dr. John watches, you know, Wake Up the Echoes and all those ones too, you and Goldsby. I like to, on my free time, catch up on everything. The one part that concerns me is on defense, though, is the linebackers. Because you only got Jack Kaiser as an upperclassman, I think. The rest of them are coming in real young. I do think that KVA is going to come off like a beast, though. So that's one area right there that got me a little concerned.
Here's my question.
Louisville did run a... Go ahead.
My question is, how big of a role can a guy like KVA at the middle layer of that defense and a guy like Young, you know, on the defensive front, I want to know how much they are going to be able, or how much can they contribute their first year? I don't have the answer to that. I don't know if the staff knows the plan yet. How much can you rely on a KVA or a Bryant to boost this defensive effort? I don't have the answer to that. I don't know how much to expect those guys as young guys to contribute. I don't know.
No, you know, that's a good question. But let me tell you one thing that I have learned watching, you know, Notre Dame. Notre Dame gets a special player every so many. Like, they got great players all the time, but you get that one. Your Manti Te'o, right? Like, mm-hmm. Every so many years.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because let's be honest. Other than that, and that whole stupid scandal that I really didn't pay no attention to, that dude is one of the greatest players to ever step on the college football field, hands down. He really is. Like, that dude is awesome. Honestly, one of the greatest college football
Here's
players.
The other if thing. Not, Here's you know, the other thing. Tell me if you've thought of this, too. I love those Samoan heritage type kids that come to Notre Dame. I've learned over the years, it's a really good crossover. Their culture's a lot about family, a lot about discipline, a lot about sticking together, mental toughness, there's something about the mindset of that culture that translates well into Notre Dame, and KVA is the latest version of that. When I think back to Manti, I like that, man. Get that hair, get that mane coming out the back, and go attack. I love it. I love it. Unleash this, dude. I love it.
No, and that's what I'm saying. So that's what I was getting at. Like, I think, well, Manti played, when was that time he stepped on Oregon? 10, 12 years ago when he graduated 13? I mean, something like that. But now you got a KVA. And I really think, man, that he's going to make that impact. Like I said, in Utah, there's a very big population of them here, Tongans and Samoan. And I grew up with them because I played football with a bunch of them. And yeah, you hit the nail on the head, their culture, the way they're enwrapped in the faith, the way they're enwrapped in the football culture too. I really think that he's going to come in and make an impact. I really do. I don't see him not being a player like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I think this defense this defense is going to be really good. I'm looking for final touches. I'm looking at icing on the cake. I'm looking at cherries on top. Like, I think this defense is going to be really good. And if they could fit in the right guys and the right packages and the right situations, they could be better than that even. This defense has been the backbone forever, and they're going to be again probably.
Oh, yeah, and two things on that. I heard Al Golden's interview, and he said, people are asking about the 2023 team. Well, that's not that team anymore. He didn't mean it like in a bad way. He says, this is a new team in a new year, and this team's going to have to be who they're going to be.
Right.
They have to decide who they're going to be. I thought that was awesome because, you know what I mean? Because you don't got some of those. You don't got KJB, you know, who came in and made an an amazing impact. Who else was on there? Was it the J.D. Bertrand, right? J.D. Bertrand, too. Even as much as people complained about Marist, hey, Marist is tough as, he's as tough as nails, man, for his size. A little undersized, right? But tough as nails, fast. So I think that this defense is going to really show their identity, especially with the veterans that are coming back. And Max Bulla. How about Max Bulla? Have you seen his interviews?
Yeah.
Dude, he is awesome, isn't he?
Not only are the interviews awesome, but the clips of him working with the team is awesome. He's out there, like, giving it back to him, and he's running around all over. I loved it. Yeah, I'm all about it.
I haven't seen, I've seen some of the videos, but I heard the interview where he's like, you know, we got to do this shit. And he goes, sorry for my language. And I'm like, you know, when you're talking to the press, you know, it's sometimes you slip. But I'm like, man, this dude is awesome. How much, you know, I'm talked about how it means a lot to him because his mother came here, his grandfather came here. And, you know, I think that the right pieces are being put in place for us to get to be successful. And you know what? For me, like I said, a successful season was to get that 10 wins, get into the playoffs and win that first game. But you and Dr. John's Lingerie Boutique and Novelty Store, that guy's the man. You and him made a point.
Dr. Long John.
But you make a good point. I think we do got to get 2 games. You know, after I heard you a minute ago talk about those, get the second game in.
Yeah.
I just feel because we haven't won a big game since freaking we got rammed by Oregon State back in 2000. You know, with Archie Denton's last year, man. I used to love that dude, man, watching him as a kid. Remember, I was a teenager when he was at Notre Dame, so I watched him, you know, and followed Notre Dame. But ever since, like, that 2000-year curse freaking from Oregon State, we haven't been able to win a big game on New Year's. So I'm hoping we can get over that hump. But,
yeah.
I'm just excited. I'm excited. I am excited about the quarterback challenge, though. And these 3 guys seeing, I think it's kind of funny that they got Leonard out there trying to throw balls to make us that are in our mother's basements, as they call us, happy. But
I'm in my own basement. I'm in a basement, but at least it's mine. At least it's a house I own. I am in a basement, but it's not my mom's. Just kidding. Mom, yeah. The meatloaf. Mom, give me the meatloaf.
Right? No, I'm not either. I own my own home. I'm like, hey, man, you know, but we're the, you know, it's whatever. I think the guy with them having him throw out there, kind of funny to me. Like I said, I'm a PB&J fan. I'm rooting for PB&J. I'm hoping, you know, I'm hoping that all of them make each other better. And you know, honestly, John, like I said, I love the show, love the school, love the university as a whole. I love the fan base, even the ones that disagree with me. You know what I mean? It's not never anything personal. I just sometimes address the elephant in the room, and people don't like it. Sorry, you know, but I'm just excited for the spring game. I'm excited always for the shows. I'm excited for everything else going on. I think we're finally on that right track. And Bavakwa in that interview, which where I didn't watch it full, you know, it sounds like he's got a competitive spirit. That he's not just coming in for as a yes man to these boosters, but
yeah.
It sounds like he's got a somewhat of a competitive spirit.
Yep.
You know, as far as what he went through as a player.
Yeah, dude, I get what you mean. He's not approaching it like a typical pencil pushing admin lawyery nerd, but like he has that competitive gene too that could help inform him. I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think things are looking up. We'll see how this spring game goes, man. Wish I was going to be there, but like I said, took my daughter on her birthday to Miami. My boss won't let me take no time off until to the Miami of Ohio game because it's our busy season. But I hope you guys have fun. I'll keep on watching. You know what I mean? And onward Notre Dame, buddy. Have a good rest of your day, man.
Hey, I appreciate you very much, man. Thanks out there. Try and avoid any new charges, okay, buddy?
Always. See you, Johnny.
Oh, I love you. You're hilarious. Have a good one. Oh, my God. I love the callers on this show. Most of them. Tim, I'm coming to you. I don't know what you're going to yell at me about now. I know something's gone sideways. Oh. Kent, good to see you, Kent. Did you see the new shirt offering, man? Come on, Kent. Get you a couple, man. No wine and cheese at Notre Dame. No wine and cheese. I'm over it. Anyways, just thinking right now, and I'm saying it. Do not start bashing and campaigning to get your DCL going and fired or replaced. I like him and the way he calls his defense. No team had the upper hand last year. I think, Kent, year one of the Al Golden defense was a little rough, and a lot of people were very frustrated with it. And then I feel like most people agree last year it took a big jump forward, and now we open in a stable play. Listen, that defense was really good last year. I'm looking forward to take the next step. To me, there's a couple things there. Number one is, when Notre Dame had a back-breaking problem on defense last year, like a just guts you, what happens? It's been a bad run fit. It's been a bad run fit. Happened against Ohio State, happened against Louisville, happened against Clemson, where there's a bad fit up front, a bad linebacker fit, and the guy's gone. If Notre Dame could eliminate that one big run in all those moments, now you're cooking. But they always had, all it takes is one play. That's the other thing that gets me. You were doing a great job against Ohio State. A great, not a good job. You were doing a great job against Ohio State. You have the one bad run fit, even though there was a hold not called, a blatant hold not called. Bam. There you go. So that's a responsibility on the defensive line, and it's definitely more of a responsibility to me on those linebackers to be in the right fit and the right first step to get the right angle, that if they get by the D-line, they're stopping them there. So eliminating, being more disciplined with your run fits to eliminate that big gash that ruins you is a priority. And then I want more action behind the line of scrimmage. I just need a little more action behind the line of scrimmage, whether it's just pressure and you don't get there, pressure and you do get there, a strip sack. I need a little more regular action behind the line of scrimmage. And again, I'm being very nitpicky because the defense, the defense has been the engine of Notre Dame's program forever. I'm not going to criticize them that much. They are not the reason we lost three stupid ass games last year. It was not the defense's fault. Did they get worn down? Did they end up looking rough in all those games? Yeah, they did. But you know what? It's really hard to play defense when you're out there 99% of the time because the offense goes three and out or has a turnover and you're right back out there again. That ain't a recipe for success. Mark, thanks for letting me think about all your bodily problems. Wasn't on my bingo chart today. To my own. Tim, what's going on? I'm afraid to ask, brother.
I'm going to be good, but okay. First of all, they all intertwine points. I love our new AD. Let's look at his background. Dr. John brought up when we saw him interviewed. His dad graduated in 1954. Only place he applied was Notre Dame, unlike what we have going on now. So positive two. Three, dad grew up under the Leahy era.
Yeah.
Another positive, he played for Lou Holtz. He's me. We're only 4 years apart, okay? So that means you grew up. Our down period was 5 years, not this 35-year bullshit, okay? Mm-hmm. All positive. Now, and I got to ask you about this. Okay, John, that's the difference. And a girl I dated for 6 months, we got in a huge fight because she graduated from Notre Dame Law School. I said, that's not true ND grad. The true ND grad is 18 to 20 year old where they shape you as young men and they form you. That's where you live and die all the sports. Because when you're in grad school or law school, that's freaking a job. That's your job because of what your age you are. So I don't know. Do you have any exposure? Is it all to just law school? Because that's what you keep bringing up. Do you have any exposure besides myself to undergrads? Because that's truly what forms Notre Dame, at least my generation.
I do, but when I think of the wine and cheese crowd and the people I know, a lot of them that I connect with that in my own circle from the people I know are the bankers, the lawyers, the stock guys. Like, those are the people I know that have the Notre Dame degree, a lot of money and business success, and they just could not care less what happens in football. It's, they're there to be seen. They're there to be with their people. It's something to do, but the football isn't a big deal to them. It's just kind of happening. And those are the people I know. Those are the people I know, Tim. Don't get mad at me. These are the people I know. That,
I'm not mad at you.
You know,
I'm just trying to figure out what's their background. Is it the undergrad or post? I mean, what's their background? Because my generation's pretty successful too. But I mean,
yeah,
you're not. And that's the other thing. If you really want to, I know we may be forced. That was my other sticking point on this. Because part of this group loves to force us to the Big Ten. Go to the Big Ten. And maybe we have to do that. But if you want that in your mind, drop Notre Dame as a fan group. Go root for USC, please. Because you don't get the history of Notre Dame. You don't. You truly do not. Unless we are absolutely forced to the Big Ten because of the money. That one guy was nuts. But anyway, if we're forced into that, then we are. And then it is what it is. But to even want that for a second, you're not a true Notre Dame fan, drop us, go root for somebody else. Go root for a damn Big Ten team. Please.
I don't
want you as a fan. I don't.
I think, Tim, I think most people prefer independence as long as it's viable. But I think there's some people trying to get ahead of this in their minds to feel better about it. Like, I do, and I think I've probably done that.
Feel better about it.
Because if you don't have a choice and you get forced to do it, you're going to have to wrap your mind around it at some point, man. If the money doesn't add up or whatever, the ACC folds, whatever the circumstances are, I feel like Notre Dame fans are mentally and emotionally preparing themselves to have to confront this someday. That's just what I feel, man.
Okay. I think we have a smart enough brass, I hope, especially who's gone younger, that we're... Unless, like I said, absolutely forced beyond our control, And it doesn't seem that way. You honestly think with an executive guy that used to work for NBC, we don't have all the numbers? We haven't gotten them yet. But I think that these protect themselves. I do. And they want us because we generate them money. Let's not kid ourselves. One of the big figures that guy kept forgetting was, you know, our road games, we get a cut of money. And all our road games, there's two or three years in a row where our weakest game was on ABC. You didn't need cable. You didn't need streaming. It was on regular TV. People forget that, yet we're not relevant. I'm tired of hearing, yes, I know it pains me that we haven't won in over 30-plus years. We're still freaking relevant. Shut up.
Yeah, yeah.
We're the only school in the country that can own a major network, and we do, or we did, for whatever. It was 98, so what's that, 26 years?
Tim, the chat has a question for you, and I'm afraid to ask it. Ask Tim if he's okay. Ask Tim if he's okay rubbing elbows with Buckeyes and Trojans at the next tailgate.
Yeah, I'm not a mean guy. I mean, the classic story was a good friend of mine was working in California, and it's right after my parents had died. So it was like 2002. And I went out for the Notre Dame USC game, and his company put a sponsored thing on, and it was half the bus was NDE fans, half the bus was USC, and all these USC women were just like in awe, going, "Is he okay? Does he need help? Is he okay?" I was just so depressed and so, so yes, I'm not gonna go attack people, or I'm not like that. I just eat, live and die.
It's just funny to picture, like, we're all having fun at a tailgate, drinking, you know, cigars going, whatever. And then some Ohio State guy comes by and your body slamming them in the parking lot. We're having a WWE match.
Oh,
like,
I'm the least violent guy you'd ever want to meet. Trust me.
Oh, man. It's just funny. It's a good mental image there. It's a good mental image. Tim, can I ask you something that came up on Twitter yesterday, and I don't have a good answer for it? And you can either answer it or you could take some time to think about it. What counts as a rival for Notre Dame? What are the parameters of that, Tim? Does that mean that you got to play them every year? Like, what are the parameters to call it like a heated, hated rival to Notre Dame? being independent and not like, I don't, USC is the obvious one and you play them every year, but what are the constraints to definitionally call somebody a Notre Dame rival?
You just nailed one because it's obviously it's USC, you got Michigan. It's who's caused any pain. Thus, have you cost us a national title?
Mm.
So there's the list. That would be Boston College. That would be Miami.
Oh, what a good answer.
That would be.
What a good answer. You came up with that one. You came up with that one quick.
I'm not done here yet.
Go ahead.
Florida State and Purdue.
Interesting. Man.
Look back at the time, and you're going to say Purdue? What, is he nuts? Look back in the 60s, how many times they knocked us off when we were number one.
Man, it's man, you were quick with that answer. I thought I was gonna give you a tough one and you didn't.
Come on, dude. You gotta bring him better.
Yeah, I guess. Man, what else you got, Tim? Are you excited for the blue and gold game? Are you one of those people that like, how do you process the blue and gold game, man? It's hard sometimes. If the offense is good, is the defense bad? And if the defense good, is the offense bad? How do you process it?
No. Two things. You're 100% right on the statement. Two things. Please, for the love of God, no injuries like we had the one with Price. So we don't need any of that. I am interested to see these quarterbacks, all three of them. The little guy on the scooter needs to just go away. But I just don't like that vibe. Maybe I'm burnt by Mr. Hair Man, but no. And I don't want one end to leave. He can go. He serves no purpose. You got to develop within. But I think Freeman gets it. And the other thing. A run. I know we're on a run, but it's year three. Let's have a legit. And I honestly think if we get a good quarterback play and we stay healthy, because we can't have the DB be out, he can't miss any time. But I think there's enough talent there. We could go on a serious run. I do.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, there's a hell of a difference. That's the other thing what people are missing. We've got to get the 5 seed because it all sets up on who you're playing. You don't want to be playing the number one seed week round three. You don't want to get them till later on in the thing. That's the biggest thing that hurts us with the seeding and the buys.
Right.
It's just how the numbers play it. Look at the NCAA tournament. It's the same principle.
Yeah, man. It's never a dull moment in Notre Dame land. Anything else on your mind, Tim? It's never a dull moment.
No, my word. You have a great weekend. I appreciate you taking the call and God bless.
Oh, thank you, man. Have a good one. Take care.
Take care.
Is Tim going to 420? I don't know, man. It might do Tim some good. I think it would mellow Tim out, man. Maybe somebody needs to get him some gummies or something just to take the edge off. Like, I'm not asking that he goes on tour with Snoop and Willie Nelson. I'm just saying maybe somebody give him a gummy or something to just dial it down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? John, Nick Dean, good to see you, man. I feel like I haven't seen you in a while. You must be busy. Glad to have you here. John, do you think Freeman and the coaches go to the portal to get a D lineman or two? I don't know, but you may as well look. Right? Now, here's the other part, though. It doesn't hurt to look to bolster anything you think you might want to bolster. It costs you nothing to look. My point is, though, sure, you could find a depth guy to add a depth guy behind your main guys to be a depth guy. However, the odds of you finding a real difference-making D lineman, I don't think are that great. Because number one, if you're that great and a difference maker, you're already playing somewhere and starting, so why would you leave? Or number two, if you're a guy looking to NIL hop and go to another big deal, Bear, Alexander, USC, whatever, if you're looking to do that, I don't know if Notre Dame's going to be in that mix either if it's a financial arms race at that time. So those are my, like, it doesn't hurt you to try and look for anything, not just D-line. It doesn't hurt you to look, but I wouldn't expect to get elite because those guys should already be starting or they should be preparing for the NFL draft in a few weeks. So you got to think about it that way too. I have no problem looking. Doesn't cost you a dollar. 414, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Hey, John. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Just another wild day talking Notre Dame with the people. What's going on?
Well, I'm so glad to finally get a chance to talk to you. I listen to you every day. I have done so for years.
No, thank
you. I've sent you a couple of super chats in the past. And I just wanted to let you know that I really appreciate you being my voice as a very passionate fan. I graduated from Notre Dame in 79, so I'm an oldster, but I am not one of those wine and cheese kind of guys that
good
you and some of the other folks have talked about. And as a matter of fact, when I was in school, it was my duty to be a vociferous and rowdy fan, as instructed by Digger Phelps back in the day when we were good in basketball.
Yeah.
Hopefully that will happen again soon. But anyway, wanted to let you know, first of all, how much I appreciate that from you. I also wanted to talk a little bit about recruiting. I think we as a football program are on the precipice of greatness. Marcus has and his staff have stepped up recruiting multiple levels compared to what our good friend, yeah, right, Brian Kelly did. And so I feel it in my bones that we're going to be awesome this year. And I think you do too. So I love hearing that.
Man, I just think it's time. And it's been, you could see it trying to get put together, but there's been things that just aren't where you need them to be. And now you feel better about the staff. It's year three of Freeman, not one or two. The roster seems to be a good blend of older and younger. Like there's the schedule's laid out a lot more favorably. I just think there's a lot of things that point to this maybe being a good year. And if it isn't, everybody's going to be devastated, and they should be.
Well, I agree, but I just don't think that's going to happen. I think he's figured out a lot of things, and you know he knows he has to be the CEO because he's not an offensive expert, and he's got two guys that are very responsible who are have done a tremendous job in the recent past. So I think we're all set, and I just can't say enough about what's in the pipeline at the quarterback position. I mean, Deuce Knight is a freak. That guy is, now he's not very refined. He's got to learn how to do reads and stuff. But I mean, he is the type of talent that could win a Heisman and could play in the NFL for 10 years. I mean, he's that physically talented. So we just got to get him developed. I mean, I think the plan for him is going to be to redshirt him next year. So, or whenever he shows up, I can't even remember which year he's 25.
Yeah. So, yeah. You're right on it, dude. That's my read on it too. Yeah. That's my read on it too. He produced presents the kind of quarterback with the kind of athleticism we have just not had. And it would be a whole new ball game. He is raw. I'm not saying he's a polished product. He has the physical gifts that I would love to see at Notre Dame. And the other thing to consider is he is the type of athlete that Denbrock wants to be his quarterback. That matters to me. That's the kind of guy that lines up with his vision and what he wants to do and what he wants to run. And I'm very, very excited about. Also, there's always chatter of Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin getting in the mix, whatever. And
yeah,
are we worried about it? And yeah, Every day I'm told Deuce loves Freeman. Deuce's family loves Freeman. They love Notre Dame. They're buying into it all, and there's nothing to worry about. I get asked this question every day, and whenever I ask about it, I'm told not to worry. So I don't know.
Well, even still, let's say he goes somewhere else. I mean, we've got people lined up for 26. We're going to get a good one there. We've got CJ Carr in the fold. I mean, it's looking up. And we've got those Deuce Knight kind of freaks all over the field. I mean, Jeremiah Love, J.D. Price. You know, they talk about the two new guys that are coming in, Kedren Young and
Williams,
the other guy.
Yeah, Aeneas Williams.
Thank you. So, and I mean, you look at every position. We've got freaks, KVA, you know, our defensive, and that's the difference. That's why I am so optimistic about where we're headed. because we are getting just super athletes at every level on the defense. And, well, we've got to do better at defensive line, I will say. But I'm still not worried about where we'll be next year. But
let me ask you this.
You know, we got to.
Let me ask you this. how much different or more effective do you think this offense will be with Mike Denbrock's eyes setting up the plan and having all of his experience? I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I know the offense is going to be in a better spot. How much better? I don't have the answer. What do you think?
Well, as long as he gets the ball in the hands of the playmakers, we're going to be fine. You got to get the ball to Love and Price in space. Can we do that? Can we get? I think our other wideout who's new, is it Micah Bell? I can't remember what's the guy's name.
Cam, the freshman, Cam William.
Well, Cam's going to be great. I think he's just a little bit raw. The other guy that
Micah, are you talking Gilbert, about Gilbert? Yeah, Micah Gilbert. That's the other one.
Yeah, Gilbert is supposedly really showing out in spring.
Yeah, and you know
so
what?
We have those kind of athletes over the field. But yeah, if we can go ahead, sorry.
Gilbert, all the talk was about Cam Williams before spring. The fact that Gilbert's getting a lot of this attention, it kind of makes me hopeful, like maybe he's an extra guy that could help early that we weren't kind of thinking of. Like, I'm all for it, man. I like hearing that he's running around. All those videos they put out of practice, he's jumping up, making athletic, contested plays. We need more of that from them receivers.
Yes, I agree. And we've got those. I mean, that's why I'm so excited, because we've got those kind of athletes at every position except, like I said, defensive line. We're going to be fine this year because we still got Mills and Cross. But so we got to stack that position. That's the only place. I'm a little disappointed that it looks like we're not getting that kid from Indianapolis.
Yeah.
But we got the guy from Chicago, which will help. But we got to get those big dogs, you know? And so, but otherwise, I mean, I'm super excited. We're always going to get the linemen. It's just our tradition, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
And speaking of being excited, I can't wait to meet you, buddy. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make the spring game. I really want to. I'm reaching out to my buddies. Who knows? Maybe I'll just make the trek by myself. But I talked to my sons, who are adults, and they got stuff going on that weekend. But I definitely want to get out there to your tailgate, because it's so funny. I feel like I'm part of this big family, and like, I want to go out and meet my brothers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited to get out there and meet you. And if I don't make this one, I'm definitely going to go to the Miami game.
Yeah. So, I was going to say that's the next opportunity, and it's early in the year. It'll be warm weather, you know, easier to get tickets, all that stuff for Miami, Ohio. So that'll be the next one. But I really appreciate all the kind words, man. It is a growing, family here for sure. It's a beautiful thing, man. Every time we do an event, more people join. And then the next time we do an event, they come, and then more people join. It's beautiful, man. We got a good group. We have a really good group, a well-rounded group. It's a lot of fun.
So I can't wait to get out there and meet my brothers. And listen, I want to thank you again for the great job that you do. It's really entertaining. I mean, you know, like our callers, like Dr. John and Rodney. I mean, I love those dudes. So I can't wait to meet those guys.
Yep.
So, and anyway, have a great day.
Thank you very much, my friend. And give me a call again. I'm glad. I always like when I see a number that hasn't called before to get new people in, man. Save the number, dial it up again. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
Most definitely. I will be in touch, and I can't wait to meet you, bud. See
excellent. You Have a good one. Day. Thank you. What a nice guy, man. My callers are nice. Callers are nice. Ryan Elliott with the $20 holler. It didn't, dude. It's really awesome when people just donate you $20. He didn't even have like a comment. He wants to make fun of somebody or make fun of me. It's just a $20 holler straight up. Bro, I appreciate that. I appreciate that very, very much. All right, folks, I think that's going to be it. I got to get ready. I got to call at 11. I need to do and write a couple notes for to keep in my brain what I'm supposed to talk about on that call. I didn't get through a lot of the stuff I wanted to do, so I'll save some of it for Friday along with the breaking news of the day. And then tomorrow's episode is going to be something very specific, an exact quote that came out from one of Notre Dame's quarterbacks yesterday. And it really stands out. And it tells you a lot about a lot of where Notre Dame's been and where they're going on offense. I think you guys are going to like it. That'll come out first thing tomorrow morning. Thank you for the chats. Oh, Goolsby's film video on Patreon was hilarious. Yeah, he was trying to get me worked up. Trying to get me worked up, man. Get the blood pressure up. Oh, boy. All right, everybody. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the chats. Thanks for all of it. I see some people on hold. I gotta cut out a little early to get ready for that call. I apologize. Thank you guys all for being here. There's no show without you, and hopefully we'll see you in about 10 days.